Lord, bless your servant with understanding and the gift of discernment. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, good morning to St. Anne's and to everyone. It's good to see you, even in my little slightly compromised position. But first, I want to make sure we all give a shout out to young Miss Abigail Zachariah. This is her 10th birthday, and if you remember, being 10 years old, that means you're moving into double digits. So for our latest queen of the tweens, we want to say happy birthday and hope she has a great and wonderful day. Last week's sermon dealt with the theme of the slow work of God, being patient and trusting in that slow work of God. And it's always interesting sometimes when you preach a sermon and lo and behold, a situation confronts you and you have to really live that sermon. And so as some of you may know, I had a slight fall during the week and hurt my back a little bit, and the doctors are saying 4 to 6 weeks for the recovery time, which means I, who is so easily can preach about having patient trust in the slow work of God, am now truly living what that means, to have patient trust in the slow work of God. But God is good and God is healing. And with my wife, Jean, I have the best medical care that love can buy. So I am in good hands and look forward to seeing you all soon. Today's sermon comes with the idea of this most precious thing and how we describe the kingdom of God and what it means to us. And so the theme is this most precious thing. That is what the kingdom is, this precious thing. But the good news about this is that the kingdom is obtainable. And that we'll see as we go through the scriptures from the gospel, that not only is it precious, but it is also obtained. The scripture passages that we have today are absolutely fabulous, and we could preach on either one of them. There's the beginning one with Solomon, the young king, as being asked, what do you want by God? God asks him, what do you want? What can I give you? And this, we see one of the true tests of leadership. When that question is posed to a leader, what can I give you? What do you desire? And his response is not to say, I want the greatest army. I want 1,000 concubines, whatever it might be. His prayer is, Lord, give me wisdom, an understanding mind. Give me discernment so I can be able to be with your people. That's the first one. You could preach all day on that. The psalm. So the psalm ends with that passage. Our eyes are weeping and shedding tears, for we see around the world that your law is not followed. And who of us cannot be sympathetic with that idea? Wherever you may stand and you look around and you see what is happening, it is easy to say that our eyes shed tears because we see that the law of love and the law of compassion, the law of understanding, in so many places is not being followed, and at such great, great cost. The passage from Paul, chapter 8, that ends, of course, with Paul's soaring oratory about nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is a passage, of course, that has stood the test of time, 2,000 years. And that chapter, again, one of the monumental chapters of the Christian faith. I could invite you also to take a look at that chapter. So much goes on in that, where Paul talks about living in the Spirit. And what that means, the whole idea and his sorrow that we are being slaughtered every day, that we are more than conquerors. And then he ends up saying, but who, what can separate us? And of course he says, I am convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And so you have in those three scripture passages monumental testimonies of faith and of our own ways of being involved in faith and how we live out our faith. But then there is the gospel, and talking about the kingdom, this most precious thing. And as I said, the kingdom, of course, is obtainable. As we read through those passages, we see that it's earthy. it's not so much of a thing that is beyond us in one sense. Jesus uses images that are concrete for us. The mustard seed of a tree that grows and grows and gets bigger and bigger, and soon everything is able to find shelter within it. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is treasure. Treasure that is hidden for a while, but then is found. The treasure is the pearl that is found, and everything is sold for it because it is precious, but as I say, it's also obtained and is not completely elusive to us. During the sermon last week, I invited some of you all, invited everyone actually, to read over chapter 13 and to let me know your responses and what you thought of the kingdom. I've had some really good responses from you about your understandings of the kingdom. There was the idea of discernment. People want to be blessed with discernment and not judgment, but to be able to discern. There was an interesting comment about maybe indeed the wheat and the weeds need each other to some extent. There could be some mysterious cross-pollination that happens that allows the two to grow and allows the wheat to become its fullest. There's also a desire that this place of the kingdom is a place of fulfillment, where everyone's opportunities, everyone's abilities are fulfilled, that each of us has that opportunity to live in the fullness of ourselves. There's a desire for oneness, that the kingdom is a place where we are all one. And I was reminded with that of the prayer that we have from the Book of Common Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, you stretch out your arms of love on the hard wood of the cross so that everyone may be drawn into the saving embrace of your love. That was again another idea of how the parish, how members of the parish, how your own brothers and sisters conceive of this kingdom of God. And then there was one about love that I found particularly striking. And this was the idea that we should love like it will save the world. I love that idea. To love like it will save the world, to be serious about it and intentional. Like Paul says, I am convinced that love will save the world. And when we see that acted out, we think of John Lewis and the civil rights people. They were acting out of love, convinced that the love that they had for their country, the love that they had for their God, would save their country and bring that kingdom, that beloved community, of fullness to their country. The same thing is happening now in terms of the Black Lives Matter protesters, the Wall of Moms out there in Portland, Oregon. These people are acting out of love. They are acting out of love like they think it will do something. Like they are convinced that love will save the world. And again, this love they are expressing is not merely something saccharine or soft. But you can see there is a determination to it, a fierceness to it. And that love, of course, is expressed for all of us. If we are parents, have been parents, guardians of children, you have to correct us every now and then, which is an act of love. We don't let everything pass because we don't want to offend. No, we act out of love, and that love is a desire to change, to bring about that change, and a conviction that it will. There's a prayer, a couple of ideas that come to mind as we talk about the kingdom and how we should be attentive to it. In the Gospel of Thomas, there's a passage where Jesus says to his disciples, the kingdom is spread upon the earth, and men do not see it. And then in our Eucharistic prayer, prayer C, we say, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. So brothers and sisters, when we talk about this most precious thing, the kingdom of God, and the truth that it can be obtained, one other thing I want to bring forth is that your responses to me were that no one be cast into the utter darkness, that there be no weeping and gnashing of teeth, that there is a desire for all of us to be brought together within this kingdom. And so as I say, our prayer then is, Lord, the kingdom is spread upon the earth. Open our eyes to see it, to grasp it, to live it, and to love like we know that our love will change the world. God's blessings and God's peace to you. Continue to pray for me and my recovery. I continue to pray for all of us on our prayer list and for their recovery. And may we all be together soon. And may we all continue to witness the love of God's kingdom expressed to every one of us, now and forever. Amen.